Please turn with me now in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be reading Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and that will be our text this evening as we look at faith and the unknown. Faith and the unknown. Hebrews 11. We'll begin reading in verse 8 and read the three verses through verse 10. Just recall that the author of Hebrews has been recounting the faith of those who have gone before and began at almost back to the beginning, not quite back to Adam and Eve, but Cain and Abel, and now we're coming to a section where it's post-flood. And he's beginning with Abraham. And so let us hear God's word, Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. Our God, open our eyes to see wondrous things from your word. Feed us with the riches that come from it. Enable our hearts to believe your word, to trust in what you say, to put it into practice in our lives, to have this faith that is described here that obeys even though we cannot see all the details of the places and the paths upon which you have called us. For we know, God, where you have called us and where we will end up, and that is enough for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I thought about the faith of Abraham here, and particularly that he obeyed when he was called, and he didn't really know where he was going. That's a pretty interesting statement. Go, and I'll tell you where you're going later. And I thought of myself as a child going in the car with my parents. They just told me to get in the car. Maybe I knew the destination. I usually did. But I didn't know how to get there. I didn't bother with it. I didn't have to know. I just got in the car. I buckled up. My parents did all these things that I didn't understand. And boom, all of a sudden later, probably too long for my taste, we were wherever we were going. It wasn't until I got older that I actually had to kind of pay attention to landmarks and think about things. And then as I got to driving, and now I'm sure my children face the same thing, oblivious to where we're going and how we're getting there and the stops that we make, but we get to the destination. And I thought of Abraham in that context and the way God called him. It's almost as if God, who is he? Our Heavenly Father, right? He says, get in the car, Abraham. We're going. Get in the back seat. I'm driving. Buckle up. You're not going to know all of the details. You just have to trust that I'm in control and that I'm going to get you to your destination. That's kind of the picture that we have here. You know, I trusted my parents that they would get me where we were going. And so we see here Abram really trusting God. God says, as it were, get in the car, we're going for a ride. Abram, I'm going to get you there, but you're going to have to trust me every step of the way. And that's really what living by faith means. It means trusting God with the details of our lives when we don't know the details of our lives. Trusting Him with the details when we don't know all the details. And how is it that we do this? We find the answer here in verse 10. We do it the same way that Abraham did it. We look beyond this world. That's what Abraham did. He looked beyond this world to the final destination. It's called here, the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what enabled Abraham to live in tents, even in the land of promise, while others lived in cities, while others occupied the land that God promised to him, It's what enabled Abraham to have patience and not try to overthrow those individuals, because he didn't have to worry about the details. He could fix his eyes upon the destination. That's the crucial thing. We don't need to worry about the details when we fix our eyes on the destination. We can leave those details to God. And that's what Abraham does. Now, Abraham is really the first of the what we might call the post-flood saints that is recorded in the book of Hebrews. The last one we looked at, Noah, the flood came. And now we pick it up with Abraham. And the author of Hebrews is going to go on to talk about Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and others. He's going to get to the point where he says, I don't have time to tell you about all of those who walked by faith. But it's interesting because Abraham really had a unique position. You see, everyone else was wiped away. Yes, you had Noah and his family, but Abraham also, he was not living as one of God's people. It's not that he was living in a community. He was living in a foreign nation serving foreign gods. He didn't have the background that maybe Shem and Ham and Japheth had of godly Noah to follow. And yet, even though he didn't have that, when God called, he responded. And so what I want you to see as we think about these verses simply is this. You don't need to know the details of your journey. In other words, how many stops there are going to be, how long those stops are going to be, or when the journey will end, as long as you keep your eyes fixed on the final destination. You do not need to know the details of your journey, as long as you know your final destination. And we'll look at this with two points. One, we don't get to know everything. God doesn't tell us everything. He certainly didn't tell Abraham everything. And secondly, we don't need to know everything. Abraham didn't need to know everything. We don't need to know everything. It's enough that we know the one thing, the final destination, the place we're headed, which in Abraham's case, as well as ours, is heaven. It's not, our destination is ultimately not here. It's the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem that is coming down from heaven. So the first thing that I want you to notice is we don't get to know everything. Abraham certainly didn't get to know everything. We're told by faith in verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So the first thing is that God called Abraham to go out. In fact, we read that earlier in Genesis 12:1. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. That was a pretty dramatic call. It was an effectual call. God, by His Spirit, worked in Abraham and caused him to leave all that he had known. And that's what He calls us to do, isn't it? What does God say to us? He says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. He makes an exclusive claim upon our lives. He calls us to Himself. He says, separate yourself from everything that will come between you and me. In fact, that's what the church is. A people who are called, we might put it this way, the church is the people who are called out of the world to live apart from the world and to live for another world. But the scripture says that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So God called Abraham to go out. And Abraham heard that call. But He called Abraham to go out, and He didn't tell Abraham where exactly he was going. That's what it says, doesn't it? Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. In fact, in Genesis chapter 12, again, the second part of verse 1, God simply says, I'm calling you to go to a land that I will show you. Again, I'm not telling you where you're going yet. You've got to trust me, Abraham. I'm not giving you the details. In fact, it's interesting. Think about it like this. I think Abraham obeyed. You know, we're told here he obeyed. He didn't question, but so I think back to children in a car. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. It's kind of the answer. If Abraham would have asked God, where are we going, God? He would have said, I'll tell you when we get there. And that needs to be good enough for you. And it's fascinating to think about this. Not only did Abraham not know where he was going, but Abraham was called to leave everything he knew for the unknown. It's not, again, as if Abraham had a history in his family of individuals walking with the true God. He didn't. So this God, unknown to his family, comes and says, Abraham, I'm calling you to leave everything you know and to go, and I'm not going to tell you where you are going. And Abraham responds to that call. And God didn't tell Abraham how long he would live as a pilgrim. The text goes on in verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country. He dwelt there in the land that God promised to him, but he didn't dwell there as one who possessed the land. Actually, we're told that he pilgrimed there, as it were, or sojourned there in the land of promise as a foreigner, as one who had no rights to it. I told my children today that I had a quote out of a Tolkien work, Fellowship of the Ring. It's a poem about Aragorn. Now, Aragorn in the story is the one who is a wandering ranger, but he's actually a king. But he hasn't laid hold of the kingship yet. He hasn't possessed it, so he's wandering. He's known by Strider in the wilderness. And there's a poem about him. It goes like this: all that is gold does not glitter, not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither, deep roots are not reached by the frost. I love that phrase. Not all those who wander are lost. Now in the Fellowship of the Ring, he was wandering. Aragorn was wandering. He was a king, but he was wandering. He had not come into possession yet of his kingship. He was wandering, but he was not certainly lost. And I think the same applies to Abraham. Abraham was a wanderer. He was a pilgrim. He dwelled in tents. Isaac dwelled in tents. Jacob dwelled in tents. But he possessed it all. He certainly wandered, but he was not lost. In fact, think about Christ. The same thing can be said of him. Jesus on the earth said this: foxes in holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. John tells us that Jesus dwelt, tabernacled among us. But this world was not for him the place that he would remain. So it is with us. Paul says that we will put off this earthly tent. But that's a good thing, because we'll be clothed with a much more glorious habitation. So we don't get to know everything. Abraham did not get to know everything. God called him to go out. God didn't tell him where he was going. And God did not tell him how long he was going to need to live in the land as a foreigner or a pilgrim. But the good news is, we don't need to know everything. We don't get to know everything, but guess what? We don't need to know everything. Abraham did not need to know everything. We see that in verse 8. Again, even though he was called to go out, even though he had no idea where he was going, and even though he was going to dwell in a land that God said, this is yours, but he was going to dwell in permanent dwellings, tents, constantly moving around, we are told this: by faith, Abraham obeyed. He obeyed God. Martin Luther puts it this way. He says, this is the glory of faith, not to know where you are going, not to know what you are doing, not to know what you must suffer, and with sense and intellect, virtue and will, all alike made captive to follow the naked voice of God. And that's what Abraham did. We might call this a naked faith. It's not a leap in the dark. But what I mean by a naked faith is that Abraham didn't have any external supports. He had God's word and his promise, and Abraham obeyed. It's no wonder that Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Abraham proved in his life, Psalm 119:105, which says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Abraham did not move a step unless God showed him the way. I think you and I, we have a lot to learn from Abraham. I think we can quote that verse. Yes, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, and I might call upon it if I stumble as I try to direct my own life. But that's not what God calls us to. He calls us to be ready, like Abraham, to move at his call. To know that we do not belong to ourselves. That our life here is a pilgrimage that is under the direction of God. We're not in the driver's seat, we're in the back seat. It's God who will bring us to our destination of heaven, not ourselves. And Abraham understood that. This is the faith that Jesus calls us to. Jesus said this, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." This is what Peter and the disciples did. Peter answered Jesus and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." In fact, Paul calls us to this. Paul calls Christians Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise, who walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had, and who are blessed with believing Abraham. And so Abraham certainly obeyed, didn't he? He didn't need to know everything. It was enough that God told him to move, and he moved. The second thing we see here is that Abraham was content to live as a pilgrim on the earth. Notice that in verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. I don't know about you, but now in that day and time, you know, dwelling in tents was more common. I've spent a few nights in a tent. Camping's not my thing. It's not something that I would want to make a long-term living situation. I like my bed too much. But tents are emblematic of migratory living. Tents are not permanent. They can be pulled up and moved as needed. He did not lay foundations in the earth. He lived on earth in tents versus the city. Remember, Lot went toward the cities. But Abraham dwelled in tents. Now, this would have been very difficult because while he was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and by the way, all three of them dwelled in tents. It wasn't until Jacob and then his sons and then the captivity that happened and the enslavement in Egypt that after that and after God delivered them out of Egypt that they came into the land and started to build cities. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they lived in tents, they moved around, they did not have a permanent dwelling place. But how difficult the trial of faith this would have been for Abraham. Think about it. God says, this is all yours, you own it all, I'm giving it to you. You see all of these cities, you see all of these lands, it's yours. And Abraham lives his entire life, never taking possession of any of it. In fact, having those who had possession of it persecute him. What a trial of faith that would have been. He had to wait to possess it, and he didn't possess it in this life. Matthew Henry puts it this way. He did not serve an eviction notice to the... He did not raise a war against the old inhabitants to dispossess them, but he contented himself to live as a stranger, to bear their unkindnesses patiently, to receive any favors from them thankfully, and to keep, this is the crucial part, to keep his heart fixed on his home, the heavenly Canaan. His heart was fixed on his home, which wasn't on the earth. Abraham was patient, and the same thing needs to happen in our lives. We must patiently endure and wait upon God. That's why Peter, in his letters, he says that we are strangers and pilgrims. And he calls our life here on the earth the time of our pilgrimage. And think about this. If Abraham would have built a city, it would have been no better than the cities of Cain. Remember, Cain went further to the east and he built cities. What happened to those cities? Washed away in the flood. It would have been no better than the city that was surrounding the Tower of Babel, which was left partially built. It would have been no better than Sodom and Gomorrah, which were destroyed by fire from heaven. And what's the lesson there? If your foundations are here on the earth, what a sorry foundation that will be. Don't make your foundations here in the earth. Abraham certainly didn't. In fact, Abraham only owned one place. Remember what he owned? He owned a burial place. He purchased it for the burial of his family. Now, I put it this way, the only place that he owned was the place from which he would depart this life. Wow. Let me say this to you. If you end this life in Christ, even if the only thing you own is the plot and the casket in which you are buried, you will be rich indeed. Because Abraham was rich, wasn't he? He possessed it all, even though he didn't see it in his life. And Abraham had such an encouragement. Yes, he dwelt in tents as a foreigner, but he did so with his children, Isaac and Jacob. He saw his son walk with the Lord. He saw his grandson walk with the Lord. I thought about that for my own children. As a parent, I know I want this. Listen up, children. My children, listen up. I want this. I want you walking with the Lord. Other children, I know your parents want this. They want you walking with the Lord. It's important. Even though it means going through hardship in this life, it may be difficulty, it may be having to say no to things that you want, it's worth it. You're a pilgrim here. This world is not your home. Don't look to it to satisfy you. Now, the question then remains, how did Abraham do this? How is it that he, obeying God, going out, not knowing where he was going, how is it that he continued on? How is it that he continued on and not only that, continued to live in a land that God had said, it's yours, but guess what? You can't possess it yet. You have to move around and live in tents as a foreigner. Well, he did so because he knew where he was going to end up. He knew the final destination. We see that in verse 10. This is the reason. Why is it that he obeyed when he was called out, even though he didn't know where he was going? Why is it that by faith he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country? Why is it that he dwelled in tents? Because he waited. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That was what he waited for. That's what we need to wait for. He knew that he had a guaranteed inheritance. In fact, God had promised him that. He said, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. I will bless your descendants after you. We know in the New Testament, Paul brings that out as those who have faith like Abraham, who are not his physical seed, but his spiritual seed. That is where the blessing comes, through Christ, to those who believe as Abraham believed. He knew he would receive an inheritance. And as he waited, he knew that the city he was waiting for was not to be found on this earth. That's important. Notice the description here. He waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In fact, all of the cities that he dwelled around in tents, what happened to their foundations? Gone. Some of them more dramatically than others, if you think of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the city that he looked forward to had foundations that cannot be destroyed because God himself is the builder and the maker. In fact, we see that later on in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. Speaking of this waiting and this desire, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, a heavenly one. One that is not of this earth. Spoken of in the New Testament. Paul speaks of it. He says, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus calls it an everlasting home. He says he has gone to prepare that place for us. In fact, as he speaks to John in the book of Revelation, he calls it the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. John the Apostle in Revelation describes it as a new heaven and a new earth, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Paul speaks of this heavenly city. Galatians 4, 25 and 26. He says, there's the Jerusalem which now is, that is in bondage with her children. But he talks about the Jerusalem which is above, that is free, which is the mother of us all. Now this would have been important for those to whom the author is writing. They were Hebrews. And as we have learned in past sermons, they were those who were at risk of going back to the ways of the Jewish religion, going back to the temple, going back to the Jerusalem that is on the earth, that is in bondage. And the author of Hebrews is clearly saying there is no hope if you go back. Going back would be going against the faith of Abraham, who did not look by faith to anything on the earth, but he looked for a heavenly country. But I think it's important for us today who may be tempted to make too much of earthly Israel and the modern nation and the city of Jerusalem. In fact, if I can put it this way, Abraham knew what many in our day today don't, even many in the church do not realize. It is not nor ever was about an earthly city, period. But ultimately, what did Abraham know? I think Abraham knew, as he thought about this city and waited for this city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, is he wasn't necessarily interested in the city, but he was interested in God and who was there. In fact, Psalm 90 and verse 1. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And here's how it begins. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You, Lord, are our dwelling place. See, Abraham understood that there was a dwelling place that was beyond any dwelling place, any earthly structure, any earthly temple, any earthly city. God himself. John Owen puts it this way, his portion did not lie in things here below, but he looked for things of another nature. That's where we need to look. That's what it means to have the faith of Abraham. And think about that faith. He called Abraham, didn't he? He said, Abraham, leave everything you know and follow me. And I'm not going to tell you where you're going. Get in the car, buckle up. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I'm not going to tell you how long this journey is going to take. I'm not going to tell you when exactly it will end on the earth. But God did tell Abraham one very, very important piece of information. He told Abraham the final destination, heaven. And that's what he tells us. That's what will get us through. That's what got Abraham through those years of dwelling in tents. He knew where the final destination lay, heaven. That's what we need to look at. You see, God doesn't tell us all that he's going to do in our lives on the earth, but he does promise us where we are headed, our heavenly destination. That's where our eyes need to be. In fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, do you think Abraham would have been tempted maybe in this trial of faith to lose heart? Yeah. Paul says, we do not lose heart because even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And here it is. This is what Abraham understood. This is what I want you to understand. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, Abraham looked at the eternal, not the temporary. And you and I can be tempted to look at the temporary. It's more visible, so to speak. But Abraham did not give in to that temptation, and let us not do so. Let us rather take our eyes off of the things of the earth. Let us take our eyes off of the things that are temporary. And let us be content, as Abraham was, to live as pilgrims on this earth. We might put it this way. Let us be content not to put our stakes too far in the ground. Be ready to uproot as God calls us. To move around. And we can do that. We can move around and go where God calls us because we know where we are ultimately headed, don't we? We know the end of the road as Abraham knew it. We are headed to a heavenly country, a city which has foundations, whose maker and builder is God. Heaven. We are headed into the very presence of God, who is our dwelling place. Amen. Let us pray. God, we ask that you would use your word tonight to encourage us as we think about the faith that you gave Abraham, that we would have a like faith, that we would, through whatever trial you call us to go through, trust that we are but those who you are bringing through every valley and every mountaintop experience, ultimately, into your presence, into the New Jerusalem, into the heavenly country, into that city which has foundations, into that city of which you are the builder and maker. And we ask that you would do it in Jesus' name. Amen.